You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Art of Not Getting Hit, Part 2. Last time, I discussed the passive parts of your striking defense. Those are the parts which are integral to your structure, and which once you have properly mastered, you don't need to think too much about for them to function. Today I'll move on to active defense. Active defense is when you see the attack coming, decide how best to defend against it, and then attempt to execute the defense. See, decide, and execute. Each of these three is of great importance, so let's take them one at a time. The first is to see the attack. While this may seem a bit obvious, it can sometimes be harder than you might think. After all, one major part of developing a good offense is to work to eliminate visual cues which allow the opponent to see your attack coming more easily. So seeing the attack coming can sometimes be difficult. I have on more than one occasion had a conversation with a student that goes something like this. Mr. Westfall, can you help me? Sure, what's up? Can you show me how to defend against the left jab? Okay. Wait a minute. I remember showing you several defenses against the jab just the other day. Yes, sir, I tried them. They don't work. Okay. I tell you what, let me watch you train for a bit. After doing just that, it looks to me like the student is not seeing the jab coming, and I tell him that. Yes, sir, that's it. Please teach me how to see a jab coming. In such cases, the simplest answer is far from satisfactory for my student. The fact is that he or she simply needs more experience. The ability to reliably perceive an attack coming in time to do something about it doesn't appear magically, nor will it result from the wisdom of your instructor being whispered in your ear. In the case of my aforementioned student, he simply needed to experience seeing a lot more jabs coming at him, ideally without having his brain scrambled in the process. There is no substitute for experience. Safely and carefully conducted sparring drills are great for developing the eye. Another, and an especially low-risk way to gain experience at seeing attacks, is to mindfully hold punching mitts, tie pads, or kicking shields. Now, of course, the caveat here is that you must hold the pads mindfully and correctly to gain the benefit. For example, if you hold a punching mitt 2 feet to the right of your head, the trajectory of the punch coming in will not look the same to you as a punch does when it's coming directly at your chin. Of course, the answer is not to hold the pad on your chin, well, unless you're into that sort of thing. No, if you trust that the puncher is not wildly inaccurate, you should hold the pad on a line that is close to a line leading to your chin. Close enough that to your eye, the punch coming in looks very much like one coming towards your chin. This means that every time you look that punch into the mitt, you gain the experience of seeing one more punch coming towards you. This is assuming that you're actually paying attention during the drill, and not daydreaming or discussing last night's episode of Game of Thrones. That's where the mindful part comes in. To get the benefit from this experience, you must be mentally present and concentrating on watching the punches coming in. Thus, if you mindfully hold pads for lots of rounds, and for lots of different people, you will gain valuable experience at watching strikes come in with very low risk of getting hit yourself. This process essentially builds for you the equivalent of a YouTube video library in your brain. There's yet another benefit from this practice. Your brain will tend to remember its guess at the amount of time that passes from the moment you see the strike begin to the moment you feel it hit the pad. This time will vary from strike to strike, and especially from striker to striker. But over the course of thousands of repetitions, the consistencies and inconsistencies will add greatly to your knowledge base and experience at learning to see and to time the trajectory of all sorts of striking attacks. After seeing the attack begin, the second stage of your active defense is to decide on a course of action. The fact that there is almost always more than one possible course of action complicates this part of the process quite a bit. Your choice of reactions can vary widely. You might choose to intercept the attack with one of your own, or to evade it, perhaps while simultaneously counterstriking, or to deflect the attack, again perhaps while simultaneously countering, or to place a shield in the path of the attack using a tough part of your body, or to jam it while moving forward to disrupt the opponent's structure, probably also making use of an anatomical shield. You might also even choose to ignore the attack. While this might sound strange, it can be perfectly logical to make this decision. For example, when an incoming attack is obviously going to miss, it happens more often than you might think, or when the attack is a poorly disguised deception, like a badly executed feint, or when it is a poorly executed but genuine attack that will land on target, but does not seem like it has the potential to actually do any damage to you. If you are correct in your assessment that the attack poses no danger, any defensive motion you employ might open you up to a genuine attack, and would at the minimum waste time and energy that could be employed in the process of throwing your own offense. After all, ending the fight is the only foolproof form of defense, and you nearly always need to attack to end the fight. So how do you learn which response is best for a given attack? Once again, the answer is the experience that comes from a high volume of intelligently and safely designed drilling. An example of a good drill for learning to defend against, say, a low right round kick, would consist of first establishing a context of sparring footwork with a partner. That means that rather than beginning from stillness, standing staring at each other, you are each moving fairly continuously and in relation to your partner's movement, shuffling, pivoting, and circling. In this context, your partner will feed you low right round kicks at frequent but random intervals. In this case, we'll say that your instructor has already drilled you in at least three sound, basic, separate defenses to the low right round kick. You practice selecting from among these three defenses and executing one of them each time your partner feeds the round kick. Over time, you'll grow to understand and appreciate the strengths and weaknesses of each of these defenses. Especially if you practice this drill with many different partners of many different skill levels and many different physical types. Also, over time, you can learn and add more defenses to the drill. Getting back to the larger process, once you have decided on a defensive course of action, the next task is to execute it. How to do this well is no secret. Skill of execution will be the result of having drilled a huge number of repetitions of the countering technique you have selected. Of course, these three steps, seeing the attack, deciding how to respond, and executing the response, must all happen very quickly. So quickly that you would think it must be subconscious and automatic. The truth, though, is that we all have conscious minds, and I hope we all use them, although lots of folks give me cause to wonder. Anyway, your conscious mind will be doing something during the fight. All martial artists lie somewhere on a spectrum. On one end are the beginners who find it necessary to consciously think through every step of the fight process. On the other end are the veterans, stone-cold knockout artists with uncanny preternatural reflexes, who give little conscious thought to the how and save their precious higher cognitive processes for the why and the when. Most of us lie somewhere between these two extremes, and those of us who are engaged in regular training should be consistently moving towards the more desirable end of the spectrum. Of course, the highest level of defense is to completely occupy your opponent's mind with your attacks, which takes us full circle into the subject of offense, which must remain the subject for a future podcast. Flooding the opponent's nervous system with your own attacks is great when it works, but a complete fighter should be ready for when it doesn't. And finally, Doing a granular focus on just the subject of defense like this can create the impression that defense is separate from offense. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's simply the case that I'm trying to narrow focus in order to help you grasp certain concepts. The truth is that you need offense and defense to be integrally structured together in your game. For example, defensive offense is maintaining proper passive structure and also proper awareness while you attack, in order to minimize walking into your opponent's attacks as you execute your own. But again, this takes us more into the subject of offense, which we'll discuss in the future podcast. Offensive defense, on the other hand, is relevant to the discussion of the art of not getting hit. Next time, I'll discuss this particular bridge between defense and offense, which is counterattacking. I'll describe the difference between simply defending an attack and countering it, and how to get better at countering more often than simply defending. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of the Martial Brain Podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.